The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right, well, we're continuing our series, On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Like I mentioned earlier, this has been, really been a fascinating series for myself, and I think Jerry would agree with me that we have really discovered some pretty amazing things about prayer, and we're hoping that that will continue this morning. A couple things that I thought would probably be a good idea if we kind of review, kind of catch everybody up to speed on what we're talking about. This is our third part of the series, On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Kind of a little bit of background on the Lord's Prayer. As you know, Jesus' disciples spent a lot of time with Him and recognized that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. And so one day the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Probably 100 other things that disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them or show them how to do. But this is, I think, the one thing that really stood out about Christ's life. And so here's the disciples asking Jesus, "How do we pray? Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus gives them a model prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer. And I think sometimes we fall into a trap of looking at the Lord's Prayer and thinking, "Wow, that's a really cool piece of scripture. I think I should memorize that. And instead of praying, I'll just recite the Lord's Prayer." And I don't think that Jesus necessarily meant for the Lord's Prayer to be something that we quoted to Him. First of all, He gave it to us, and so I think He already knows it. So when we recite it back to Him, I don't know. You tell me. I think Jesus meant so much more than just giving us something to recite. I think what He was giving to us is a pattern for not just how to pray, but for our prayer life. And as we've been talking about this, we've actually been talking about a thing we call the prayer track. And just so no one's confused, as we go through the message this morning, at three different points, I'm going to pause and I'm going to talk about a thing called the prayer track. And I want you to think of the prayer track as an actual running track. Now, probably most of us did our morning jog this morning, right? And so, you know, as you went around that first lap, you realized, "Oh, I have three more laps to go." And so you could actually measure where you were at in your routine as you were jogging around the track. Okay? So you could tell when you were a quarter of the way along the track, and you could tell when you were halfway, and you could tell when you were two-thirds of the way, and you could tell when you were finished because you were back where you started. And so when I talk about a prayer track, I mean actually praying in a way that's measurable, so that you begin praying and you know that you're on the first lap. And as you continue to pray and continue to communicate to God, you know when you reach the second lap. Does that kind of make sense? So there's an actual way of measuring where you're at in your talk with God. You might say to yourself, "That sounds kind of goofy." And a couple weeks ago, I talked about how I don't want the Lord's Prayer or praying in this prayer track, I don't want it to become something that becomes ritualistic or becomes a habit, because the same God that gave us the Lord's Prayer also warned us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. He warned us against being ritualistic about our prayers. And so I believe that God wants us to become a pattern of our prayer life. And so we'll pause from time to time. We'll talk about where we're at on that prayer track. So maybe a couple things in review as far as our prayer track. The first part that we talked about was our Father in Heaven. That's the first part of the Lord's Prayer. We realized that, first of all, we needed to be spending time thanking God for the privilege of belonging to His family. And then the second thing we spent time with on our prayer track was marveling at God's greatness and the amazing value that you have in His eyes. He's our Father in Heaven, and yet God still is concerned about the details of our lives. And then the third place we went on the prayer track was we spent time hallowing the name of God. And hallowing the name of God simply means setting God's name aside for a specific purpose. And so what we did in that case was we spent some time applying God's promises to our situation, because we realized that God's name is actually a covenant name with us. In other words, it's a promise-keeping name. And so God's name means something, and as we begin to learn what the meanings of God's name are, we realize that God is a God that keeps His promises. Last week, Jerry talked about your will be done. In the prayer track, the first thing we need to do is we need to ask God to rule in our lives, do what He wants us to do. Allow God to be the one in charge, the boss of your life. We also talked about spending time interceding for your family, your church, and the leaders of your community and our nation. Also in the prayer track, we talked about praying for people to come to know God and come to have a relationship with God. Jerry described it as a harvest, and we use that analogy from the Bible as a harvest that needed to be brought in. There are people that need to know God, and maybe you're here this morning and you would say, I need to know God. I'm a person that needs to have a relationship with God. And so that's something that we're praying towards, that each and every one of us, our friends, our family members, even people that we don't know that we work with, would come to know God and experience His love and His forgiveness. And so that's where we went so far. This morning, the title of my message is Give Us Our Daily Bread. And this is our third part in the series. So what we'll do is we'll look at the Lord's Prayer and we'll read it. And then we'll take that phrase out and talk about it. Let's ask God to bless our time this morning. Father, we come to you this morning, first of all, recognizing that as we look at this model prayer, we recognize, God, that it's more than just a prayer that was given to us to pray. God, it really is a way for us to pattern our prayer life. And there's things, God, that we need to acknowledge and that we need to recognize as we come to you in prayer. And I pray that as we look at these things and as we take the time just to reflect on the things that you are telling us through this, I pray, Father, that our prayer lives will be greatly expanded, not just in time, God, but in meaning and in intimacy with you. Again, Father, thank you for this time we have, and pray this morning, God, that you would speak through me, that it wouldn't be me talking, but it would be you, Father, because this is your message that you'd like to communicate. Thanks, God, for all you do for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So let's look at the Lord's Prayer. I want to read it, and then we'll take out the segment that we're going to talk about. It's from Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning we're going to take out the portion that says, give us this day our daily bread. And the first thing I want to do is I want to take just a small portion of this phrase, and we're breaking it down even more, and we're just going to take that first part, give us. There's actually some things that God wants to communicate through us, the fact that He's telling us to ask Him for something. The first thing I think that we notice here is that God is a Father that gives. God is a Father that gives. You know, what's so amazing to me about God is that God has already given us so much. When you simply reflect on the fact that God has given us this life that we have. In a couple minutes, I'm going to share a verse with you that just describes God as being the life giver. And so we have this life, and maybe you would look at your life and say, I don't have a whole lot to be thankful for. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what your life is like, that life is a gift from God. And that's something that none of us can deny. So God gives us life. And then the second thing that God gives us that I think is so amazing is that God gives us the ability to have a relationship with Him. And we've been talking about that the last couple weeks, that God, who is so great and so awesome, God has given us the privilege of being a part of His family. And not just being adopted into His family, and it's kind of like a thing where we have ownership, but it's a thing where God actually wants to have an intimate, close relationship with us. Remember we talked about a couple weeks about the term that God wants us to address Him, the Abba, Father, which is an intimate term that you would say to your dad. The closest thing we have in English is the word daddy, but even that doesn't really describe how intimate this word is. God wants to have an intimate, close relationship with us. And so God just continues and continues and continues to give. Now here's the thing about giving. Giving is something that I feel is really against our nature. We say it's better to give than to receive, but when it really comes right down to it and we do a little bit of soul searching, I'll be honest with you this morning, I love receiving stuff. Simple fact, I would much rather receive something than give something. It does feel good to give, but I really enjoy getting stuff. That's why when you give something to a child, they have a really hard time giving that thing back. You ever loaned something to a small child? Yeah. You can't do that. You might as well just sign it off and give it to them. It's theirs. We have this, I think, this innate selfishness that once we have something, we just want to hold on to it. It becomes ours. Why is it that one of the first words that kids learn is mine? Because they want to establish ownership. They want to say, this is my possession. It's mine. Nobody's going to touch it. I remember sharing a candy bar with my little brother one time. Maybe you've done this before. When you go to share a candy bar with your younger brother or sister, you put your thumb on the part of the candy bar where you want them to stop biting. Have you done that before? Okay, so you give them about this much of the Snickers bar, and then you put your thumb there so they can't bite anything beyond that. You know what my brother used to do? He tried to take my thumb with it. He was always going for the big bite. We would much rather receive than give. Honest truth. But God is, his nature is so opposite from us. That's what's so amazing about God. And I think we could say this. We must approach God with the realization that all that we have is a gift from him. And he delights in giving to us. All that we have is a gift from God, and God delights in giving to us. Imagine that. Imagine God deriving pleasure from giving to us as children. And once you get a hold of that idea, I think you'll have a better picture of who God is. John 6:33, the true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The fact that Jesus came down to earth in itself was a gift. God was giving something to us that only God can give. It's amazing. God was actually imparting to us, if we were willing to accept it, his perfection, his righteousness. And all we have to do is reach out and accept that. What an awesome gift, because we could never earn God's approval. God had to come and he had to give that to us. He had to give us the right to be perfect in his eyes. James 1:17, we actually went through the book of James a few weeks ago. We talked about this verse, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You ever tried to park your car in the shade, and then half an hour later, it's not in the shade anymore? How does that happen? You park it right there in the shade, and you come back out of the store, and the guy next to you is in the shade, and you're in the sun. It's not fair, because the sun is moving, and the shadows are shifting. And so the idea here is that God does not change. You can't even see a variation in his shadow because God simply stays the same. And that's the God that continues to provide us with gifts. It's incredible. It's like having a very rich uncle. I say uncle because if you have a very, very rich dad, he's probably not going to give you stuff because he wants you to, you know, build some character, earn it. But the rich uncle, man, he's just going to lavish you with stuff. God is always a God that's giving. And I find that amazing. And so in our prayer track, as we come to this place in our prayer time, we spend time thanking God for all that you have and his willingness to give. Spend time thanking God for all that you have and his willingness to give. That's simply recognizing that everything that you own was already a gift from God, and you're thanking God because God so willingly continues to give to you. I could spend a few minutes doing that. Let's go back to our phrase, give us this day our daily bread. We'll take the next portion of it, this day. And I believe that the thing that God is communicating to us is that God is the God of today. God is the God of today. That sounds kind of simple and maybe kind of childish to say that, but I would word it like this. It'll change the way you live once you realize that God is actively involved in the here and now. When I was a kid, there were two types of little cars that I used to get. I think they were both Hot Wheels brand, or might have been Matchbox, but there were ones that you had to put your hand on and drive them all along the carpet or bathtub, depending. And then there was the kind where you could pull back on it and let that sucker go, and it would drive on its own. I like those cars. Unless you pull it back too far and click, 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 and then it just stops working eventually. But I used to like being able to pull that thing back and just let it go. Off the couch, off the kitchen table. You know, you just like to drive that thing off of stuff because it would go on its own. It's not as much fun when you do it yourself. And here's the thing. God has not designed us to be the wind-up kind. God has not designed us to be the kind that you pull back and you let go. And we're just on our own, cruising along towards the edge of the kitchen table, whatever. God is the kind of God who has his hand on us at all times. We're the matchbox or the Hot Wheels without the little motor. God wants to be that involved in our lives. God wants to have his hand in our lives at all times. God doesn't want to just turn us loose, because I'll tell you what, left to our own devices, we are going to end up falling off the kitchen table or the couch, or, you know, if you're in the bathtub, you're pretty safe because you just go around and around. I do have a funny story about the bathtub. I'm going to tell it. Why not? I think I was about 8 years old, 9 years old, and we were getting ready to go somewhere, and my mom was in a big hurry, and so she tells me, you know, I need to take a bath and get ready. And so I had some toys I wanted to take into the bathtub with me, and she's like, no, no, you can't take any toys. You just got to go. You got to go. And so I snuck some toys in. Yeah, my Hot Wheels cars. And so I'm in there in the bathtub, and instead of washing like I was supposed to be doing, the bathtub, it was a racetrack. And those cars were whizzing around the bathtub, and I was having such a good time, you know, not realizing how long I was taking. And all of a sudden, I hear the knock on the door. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, who is it? What are you doing in there? Washing? My mom busts into the bathroom, because I'm a little kid, she can do that. She busts into the bathroom, and I try to hide all these cars under my legs so she can't see that I've snuck these cars into the bathroom. Eventually, one of the cars comes out, and I'm discovered. Even a little kid trying to get away with stuff. And it's no wonder that God has to have his hand on our lives at all times. If we're left to our own, we're going to end up in serious trouble. God is the God of today. Psalms 46:1 tells us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What does it mean that God is a very present help? It means that God is very close, and he's right here, right now. That's an incredible truth. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. God is the God of today. I love Matthew 6:34, and I want to read it for you in the Message, because I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this verse. It says, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." Isn't that an amazing truth? God is saying that he wants us to focus on the here and now. You know, we think so much, or we hear so much about concentrating on our future and thinking about our future, and that is great. It's great to keep your eyes on the future, but sometimes we're so busy thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow that we're not concentrating on the here and now and what's happening right at this moment. And I think God wants us to recognize that God is the God of here and now. God is the God of today. And so many times in our lives, we think, okay, God, I'll do that for you, but I'm going to wait till tomorrow. Or we tell God, God, I need to get this stuff taken care of that's happening right now today in my life, and then I'm going to come to you. And God is saying, no, I'm the God of today. I'm the God that wants to have an intimate relationship with you right now. I don't want to wait. There's nothing more that you need to do. I want to be the God of today in your life. And so in our prayer track, spend time talking to God about what is happening in your life right now. I love visiting Debbie's parents, because Debbie's mom always tells us stories about things that happened in the past. But a lot of times when she starts to tell us a story about something that happened in the past, she's talking about it as if it's happening right now. And sometimes it gets a little bit confusing, especially when she starts talking about people that you have no idea, and she's not saying first and last names, she's just saying first names. She does that with famous people. She'll sit there and she'll tell you a story about Herbert. And you're thinking, who is Herbert? And she'll go along the story along, keep going. Herbert did this, Herbert did that. And by the end of the story, you're so curious. You want to know, who is this guy Herbert? And you find out it's Herbert Hoover. Yeah. Who would have known that that's who we were talking about? It's kind of funny. We can spend so much time thinking about the past. And I'll tell you what the danger is. Many of us, when we have a relationship with God, and there was a point in our life where we were really close to God and we were intimate with God, sometimes we always go back to that moment and we remember back to that and we say to ourselves, oh man, I wish things were like it was back then. Or God did this great thing for me. I had such a great relationship with God. If only I could go back in time and be in that place with God again. Have you done that before? That's something that we need to leave in the past. I mean, praise God that that happened, and be thankful to Him that you've been able to have an awesome time with God in the past. But God is saying, I'm the God of today. Where are you at with me today? How is your relationship with God right at this moment? Is God your closest friend? Is God an intimate, close father to you? God wants to be the God of today. So spend time talking to God about what is happening in your life right now. Let's go back to our phrase. Focus on the last part, our daily bread. And I think we'll discover this. God meets our needs consistently. God meets our needs consistently. Some people take this portion of the Lord's Prayer and they'll think that it's talking about food. And, you know, I guess the word bread does kind of make you think of food. Matter of fact, just saying the word bread makes me a little bit hungry right now. I love bread. Debbie bakes some delicious bread. She bakes some other kind of bread too. But the other day I come into the kitchen and there's this bread sitting on the counter. And it looks really good. And I'm like, wow, I want to eat some of that. And Debbie's like, nope, don't do it. It's bad. It was one of those disaster recipes. And so it just kind of sat there and tempted me. And eventually I did take a little piece of it. She was right. It was bad. So many times we think of bread as being nourishment or sustenance, something that we eat. And God means so much more than that when He says, give us our daily bread, or when He tells us to ask Him to give us our daily bread. Our daily bread could be just about any need that we have that we go to God to meet. And I would say this, if you're going to have an intimate relationship with God, you must recognize His desire to interact with you on a daily basis. God wants to meet your needs on a regular basis, consistently. And so God is telling us to bring our needs before Him daily. I mean, every single day. I'll tell you, if somebody was coming to me every single day and saying, hey, Jeremiah, I need this, I need this, I need this, that would drive me nuts. I might actually give them what they want just to get rid of them. Matter of fact, there's a parable in the Bible about that. But God is asking us to come to Him on a consistent basis. And God is not going to get tired of listening to you. You might get tired of listening to yourself. You might get tired of listening to your spouse or someone in your family. But God never grows weary of hearing you. And so God wants us to come to Him on a daily, regular basis. And He wants us to ask Him for our daily bread. There's a beautiful analogy of this in the Old Testament, and I want to tell you the story because, for me, this is one of those humorous events in the Bible, one of those things where, you know, God really does have a sense of humor. And so let me describe a little bit about this. This is found in Exodus chapter 16, and you guys can read the whole chapter at some point. But the people of Israel are out in the middle of the desert. God has rescued them from Egypt, and so they're out there in the middle of the desert, and while they're there, they start thinking about all the stuff that they left behind in Egypt. Now, they totally forgot about the fact that they were in slavery and that they were being beaten and that they were being punished and they were being asked to do extreme labor that it was impossible to do. They forgot all about that. And what were they remembering? They were remembering that Egypt had onions. Now, why? I enjoy onions, but if I'm in the middle of the desert and I've been freed from my slavery experience, I would not start thinking about onions. These guys thought about all the things that they left behind them, all this delicious food, and they started to say to themselves, we were better off as slaves than we are here, free men and women in the middle of the desert. And so God does something incredible. And by the way, the whole time that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, God was constantly doing these amazing miracles. And, you know, any one of us would say, if God would just do one miracle, that would change my life forever, and I would do anything God wanted me to do if God would just do a miracle in my life. And that would remove any doubt in my mind that God is who He says He is. You would think that, right? Well, here's these guys, and God just does miracle after miracle after miracle. And in Exodus chapter 16, it talks about this miracle that He does. What He does is He actually provides food for them, and the food comes from heaven. Have you ever gone to a bakery that you just love? I mean, it's like your favorite bakery to get the best bread in the world. It's better than that, because it doesn't come from a bakery, it comes from heaven. God's baking this bread. And here's what happens in Exodus chapter 16. Look at verse 4. God said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you. That's pretty cool. The people will go out and gather each day's ration. Oh, very important instructions. Each day's ration. Skipping down to verses 17 and 18. The people of Israel went to work and started gathering. When they measured out what they had gathered, those who had gathered more had no extra, and those who had gathered less weren't short. Each person had gathered as much as was needed. So they would go out and they would gather this bread, and some guy would be gathering a whole bunch of it, and somebody else would be gathering just a little bit of it. But when they all got together, they had the same amount. Crazy. Another miracle. And so, verse 19, Moses said to them, don't save any of it until morning. In other words, just gather what you need for that day, what you're going to eat, and don't save any of it until the next morning. What happens? In verse 20, but they didn't listen to Moses, and a few of the men kept some of it until morning. And I love this. It got wormy and smelled bad. So they gathered not just what they needed for that day, but they also gathered what they might need for the next day because, I don't know, they were too lazy to go out and pick up bread off the ground. But they gathered too much, and the stuff that they'd gathered and saved and held on to, it got worms in it, and it smelled bad. It was no longer heavenly bread. It was disgusting, rotten, smelly, wormy bread. Oh, man. I still want bread, even with those thoughts. But you see what's happening here? God is saying, I want you to only take what you're going to use today. And then tomorrow, I'm going to give you what you need for tomorrow. And then you're only going to take what you need for that day. And then the next day, I'm going to give you exactly what you need for that day. Do you see the lesson that God is teaching us through this experience with the Israelites? God is telling us that we need to go to Him on a daily basis. That the time that you spend with God today, if you spend a little extra time, it's not going to make up for missing your time with God tomorrow. God wants you to come to Him on a regular basis, consistently, so that He can continually meet your needs. And He'll meet your needs for that day, and you'll be set. And then the next day will come, and you'll go to God, and you'll spend more time with Him, and God will give you what you need for that day. Let me tell you something. If you've discovered that this is true, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've practiced this, you understand it to be true. But so many people want to live off of the experience they had with God last week, and you say, oh man, I got so much church, I'm all full up, I could take a few days off. That's not how it is. God wants us to come to Him on a daily basis, and He wants us to be consistent about it, because God is the God that meets our needs consistently. And is God prepared to meet our needs? You bet. Look at Philippians 4:19. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now let's imagine you're all graduating from high school. And I tell you, if you get straight A's, I'm going to give you a car. You're thinking, wow, that's really cool. Where's Jeremiah going to get a car to give me? I've seen the one he drives. I hope it's not that one. But if Donald Trump says, you make straight A's and I will give you a car, you say to yourself, yes, I would gladly drive the car that he drives, or even the one that he gives me. Why is that? Why is it that you don't want me to give you a car? That hurts my feelings. And if I was a millionaire, you'd be like, yeah, bring it on. Are you understanding that God gives to us out of His riches? Is there anybody that's richer than God? Is there anybody that owns more things than God? Is there anybody that has a vast supply, an endless supply? There's no one. And so when God says, I can meet all your needs, and I'm going to meet those needs out of my riches, my friends, that's an amazing promise. That's something that I can bank on. The fact that when God says, I'll meet your needs, He is well capable of doing that. Remember we talked about the names of God a couple weeks ago, and one of the names was Jehovah Jireh. God's provision shall be seen. There's another name of God I want to give to you guys. By the way, this Jehovah Jireh, that was one of the ones we talked about. We're reclaiming the promise that's inherent in God's name. And so we're claiming the fact that God can provide all our needs. That's part of hallowing God's name. Somehow it seems like the Lord's Prayer, everything's kind of connected. Well, here's another name, El Shaddai. It means God Almighty who is all sufficient. Or it also means this, the God of more than enough. God has more than enough to meet all our needs. That is incredible. I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel very insufficient. And there are times where I can actually see my resources running dry. And I say to myself, on my own, I don't have enough. That's why I trust in the God of more than enough. That's why, once again, I'm claiming a promise that's inherent in God's name, and I'm recognizing that God wants to meet my needs consistently. And so where does that bring us to on our prayer track? Realize this is a measurable progress we're making around this track. And at this point, we want to spend some time asking God for the things you need to make it through this day. Spend some time asking God for the things you need to make it through this day and thank Him for being the God who provides. I could spend a few minutes doing that. I'll tell you what, by the time we're done with this series, you're going to be praying for like a day. Because there's so many things that we want to recognize and that we want to thank God for and that we want to acknowledge God for and that we want to ask God for. And you see, this is all for us. This is not for God's benefit. God has given this for us so that we can have a deeper relationship with God. And we recognize that God is a Father that gives to us. And we recognize that God is the God of today, of the here and now. And we understand that God is a God that meets our needs consistently on a daily basis. Why would we look to anybody else? For me, I want to look to the God whose name is the God of more than enough. That's the God that I want to go to for my daily bread.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You